Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Chapter 16 of Matthew, page 1021 in your Scofield Bible, 1021. Be reading just four verses, verses 13 through 16. We will, however, read them responsively. Let's stand, please, as we do always, the reading of the Scripture here at First Baptist. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And let's pray. Father, what a great church this is. We've been thrilled with that which has occurred already. And thank you for great music. And thank you for these who've labored hard to bring it to us. And thank you for the preaching to follow. We pray that you'd bless our preacher. We realize that hour upon hour and a lifetime has been invested in his ministry to us. We thank you for the word, and we pray that you'd bless it to our hearts and our hearing. Help us each, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
While Brother Daniels was singing, I was sitting here thinking about the time he spent preparing that. 10 minutes. He's one of our favorite singers. Music has been so good today. While the choir was singing with that dear solo a while ago, and they got through with it, I turned around and said, "I don't think I'll ever sing it. It would be worth it all again." And the choir was ready to encourage me in that decision. There's several subjects in the Bible that about which I preach where I feel totally inadequate. One of those subjects is heaven. I preached a sermon on heaven one summer Sunday, and I wasn't satisfied with it, so I preached another. And I wasn't satisfied, so I preached another. I think I preached about 15 sermons on heaven. I felt that I had done as poor a job at the end of the 15 sermons as I did at the end of the first one. Though my sermon tonight is not on the name of Jesus, I am speaking about him. And I will go to my office after a while, and I will sit there and feel that I have failed. I want to talk to you tonight on the question that Jesus asked the disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me tonight to come at least close to showing the wonder of our blessed Lord. On this Sunday in the early, in the last days before Christmas, just a few days away, we turn our attention to him who is Christmas, even our Savior. Bless this message tonight to our hearts, please, and give me the attention of all the people in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary and Joseph had left their own home area in Galilee to come several dozen miles down to Judea. The Bible says to be taxed. It meant to be registered, and of course there was some taxation involved. Sort of a combination to pay your taxes and take a census, be a part of a census. They came. Mary was with child. She knew that the child was the Christ child, for the angel had come and announced to her that she would conceive as a virgin and bring forth a son. The angel even told her what the son's name would be, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Joseph was I was disturbed. How can any man be disturbed? The woman to whom he was to be married was pregnant. And Joseph was about to put her away. So an angel came to Joseph and said, "Joseph, don't put Mary away. Fear not to take her to your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." You talk about a man of great faith. Now you think about that one for a minute. Just sort of let... we don't give Joseph near the credit that he deserves. Boy, I mean, in the first place, there's an angel that told him. I'd have thought I had too many onions on my Hershberger the night before. But I mean, the honest truth is that you talk about faith. I'm not sure I know anybody in the whole Bible had more faith than Joseph did. He believed that angel, and the angel said, this had never happened before. And, of course, Isaiah 7:14 had predicted it, but you got a better chance of winning the lottery than you have of being, having, listen to me now, the Christ child born in your household. And so they came to Bethlehem. You know the story. Mary went into labor, and they rushed to an inn. I'm not sure what the inn was, what they called an inn in those days was. But they couldn't find any room. They had no bed there for them. And so Joseph, I'm sure, bargained for a while, or reasoned for a while, with the innkeeper and told him that his wife was expecting, "Is there anything you can do?" And you know the story, how that the innkeeper let Joseph go out in a barn. I don't know. But in a manger, that I do know. And there in a manger, I think it's very significant that Jesus was born in a manger, because most lambs are born in a barn or in the hay. And here's the Lamb of God being born. And then, of course, you remember the story of the angelic choir who came and sang to shepherds watching their flocks by night and announced to them the coming of the Christ child, and how they went and fell before the Christ child and worshiped him. Now, the question comes, who's this baby? Who is this child? More people have advanced more ideas about who this child is or was than of anybody that's ever lived. Who is he? I ask Frederick Quitfield. He replies, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth." "Who is he, John Ripon?" He replies, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." "Who is he?" I ask William Hunter. He says, "Sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus." "Who is he, Luther Bridges?" I ask you. He replies, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." "Who is he, Charles Converse?" He replies, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." "Who is he, A.B. Simpson?" A.B. Simpson says, "Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name." "Who is he, Charles Weigel?" He replies, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I've found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do." Another says, "The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joy full and complete. The precious name of Jesus." Another said, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know." Did you know the 27 books in the New Testament, 24 of them, start off with Jesus in the first verse? Just get right to Jesus right away. Best point of contact you'll ever have. The seventh word of the New Testament is the word Jesus. And the seventh from the last word of the New Testament is likewise Jesus. Seven from the front and seven from the back is Jesus. And between those two, 700 times exactly he's mentioned in the New Testament. 700 times. His name is the first name mentioned in the New Testament. It's the last name mentioned in the New Testament. Every word in the Bible is about him. You can just start in the Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, there's Jesus. He said, I am the beginning and the end. And in the beginning, God, there's Jesus. In Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. In the beginning, God created, there's Jesus. For in John 1, 3, all things were made by him. Without not him was not anything made that was made. It just may be that the first word I ever heard to recognize was the word Jesus. As my mother put me on her knee every night and told me that he was the Son of God. It just may be that the first time I ever really understood the love of Christ for me was when I was 5 years of age on the knees of a beginner Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Bethel, as my little bare feet stuck out beneath my little patched trousers and little white t-shirt. And Mrs. Bethel told me that Jesus loves me. I've told you this 1,000 times more. 1,000. The greatest news I know is that God loves me. I don't know any better news than that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Somebody asked a great scientist, said, what's the greatest discovery you ever made? He started singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Who is this child? Whom say ye that I am? Who is he? Jews who lived in his day. The answer is not this, the carpenter's son in Matthew 13:55. Who is this? Who is he? I ask the scribes and Pharisees. And they reply, he's an impostor. He deceiveth the people. Who is he? I ask the Talmud, which had only scorn for him. He to them was an arch heretic, who caused a great apostasy from the religion of Moses. Who is he, I ask the Jews of today? They answer, largely we accept him as a prophet, like Moses was a prophet. Who is he, I ask Nicodemus? He replies, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Who is he, India, China, and Japan? They answer, he's a teacher alongside Buddha and Confucius. If that be true, show me the empty tomb of Buddha and the empty tomb of Confucius. Who is he, liberal thinker? He was a noble man, they answer, who uttered many worthy maxims like Socrates or Plato or Dante or Shakespeare. Who is he, contemporaries of his time? One said he was Elijah returned. One said he was Jeremiah resurrected. Another said he was a prophet like Moses. Another said he was John the Baptist brought back from the dead. Who is he? Whom say ye that I am? Who is the Unitarians? They reply, a sage with some special divine illumination. Who is he? I ask the modern theologians. They say an ideal example who is worthy of emulation. Who is he? I ask the multitude following him from town to town for 3 years. They answer, he's the best speaker we ever heard, and a worker of miracles. Who is he? I ask the guarding centurion. They say he's a man. He said he's a man without fault. Surely this man is the Son of God, and without fault. Who is he, Pilate, with his hands dripping with the blood of Christ? This was the Son of God, he said. Who is he, angels who spoke to Mary? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, they said, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who is he, apostles? You knew him with an unparalleled intimacy. You were his constant companions throughout his ministry. Together you trudge with him over the dusty roads of Syria. Together you walk with him beneath the blazing light of an unclouded sun. Who is he, Matthew? Who is he, Peter? Who is he, Andrew? Who is he, John? Who is he, James? Who is he, Bartholomew? Who is he, Thomas? You who shared with him the Syrian mountainsides on cold winter nights. You who inspected him in the hour of triumph and in the hour of apparent defeat. Who is he, 12, who saw him at the wedding of Cana of Galilee turn the water into wine? Who saw him at the bedside of the dying people raising them to live again?
Who is he? Those of you that saw him in the pool of Bethesda when he spoke to the man who for almost four decades had been sick and paralyzed and raised him from his bed to run and leap like a hart and walk again. Who is he? Those, the 12 people that saw him take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed the 5,000 and have 12 baskets full left over. Who is he, I ask you? Those who saw the empty grave of Lazarus when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And had he not said, Lazarus, if a dead person in the grave would have come forth. Who is he, though you who saw Peter's mother-in-law healed of a fever? Who is he who saw him with blind Bartimaeus as he gave sight to blind eyes? Who is this man, 12, who saw the demon-possessed lad walking in his right mind? Who is he who saw him still the calm and still the waters of the stormy waters? Who is he? You saw him command blind eyes to see, and they obeyed, and they saw. You saw him command deaf ears to hear, and they obeyed, and they heard. You saw him command dumb tongues to speak, and they obeyed, and they spoke. You saw him command contrary winds to calm, and they obeyed, and they calmed. You saw him command crippled legs to walk, and they obeyed, and they leaped like a hart. You saw him command death to live, and death obeyed, and dead people revived and lived again. You saw palsied hands commanded to be steady, and they obeyed and became steady. You saw a severed ear commanded to return to its owner, and it obeyed and returned to the side of the owner's head. You saw him, 12 apostles, you saw him command the troubled waters of Galilee to be still, and they stood at attention and saluted and obeyed the Son of God. Who is he, I ask you? Who is he? You heard him teach. You heard him preach. You saw him bless little children. And they come back with a resounding, we who knew him best, we answer this like this. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Who is he, John, as you baptized in Jordan?
Who is he? And John replies, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Who is he, Heavenly Father, looking down from heaven upon the baptism of your Son? Who is he? The Heavenly Father once for all tells us who he is. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Who is he, John? You know him best. You put your head on his shoulders, you're the one he loved. You put your head on his breast, you recall the disciple that Jesus loves. Who is he? And John said, he's the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
Well, who was he? Exactly, who was he? And what was he?
He was most of the above and more. Yes, he was the carpenter's son. Yes, he was a teacher come from God. Yes, he was a prophet like Moses. Yes, he was a noble man who uttered worthy maxims. Yes, he was a sage with spiritual illumination. Yes, he was an ideal example and pattern worthy of emulation. Yes, he was the greatest speaker who ever lived. They said never man spake like this man. Yes, he was a miracle worker. Yes, he was the Son of the living God. He was the one who was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. Yes, he was a good man. Yes, he was a loving friend. Yes, he was the Lamb of God. Yes, he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, he was Isaiah's wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Yes, he was Isaiah's bruised and smitten lamb. Yes, he was David's stone cut out without hands. Yes, he was Moses' Passover. Yes, he was Joshua's unseen captain. Yes, he was the one walking in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king said, there's somebody else in that furnace, and he's likened to the Son of God. I've got news for you, Your Majesty. That is the Son of God in that fiery furnace. Yes, he is the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, in the Garden of Eden. Yes, he was God's promised seed, David's king of glory, Zechariah's king of the world, and Stephen's welcoming committee. He was all of that, but he was more. I narrow it down, I come to those that really knew him best. I come to those to whom he entrusted to pen his words.
Matthew looks at him through his prophetic telescope, and Matthew says, I see a king. Matthew saw a battle of the nations. He saw the man of sin conquering the world. He saw a white horse in the sky. He saw Jesus saddled on that white horse. He saw all believers saddled on white horses. He saw him coming as a conquering Christ. He saw him setting up his kingdom on earth. He saw him ascending the royal stairway of Mount Zion and becoming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he saw Jesus reigning where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. He saw Mount Zion as the capital of the whole world. He saw every knee bowing, every tongue confessing that Jesus is the Christ, to the glory of God the Father. He saw all creation becoming a choir, singing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. That angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown Him as Lord of all. Matthew said, I see a king. Mark, you walked with Him. What do you see when you look at Him? Mark says, I see a servant. Mark saw him taking a towel and washing the feet of the disciples. Mark saw him blessing the little children. Mark saw him commanding blind eyes to see and deaf ears to hear, serving lame people by making them walk and serving the stormy winds by making them calm. Mark saw him raise dead bodies to live again and cause fevered brows to cool and the tempestuous seas to still and the 5,000 be fed. He saw him speak to the water as it brushed into wine. He saw him sleeping by night without a pillow and having no place to lay his head, and yet by day providing for those who were his children. And Mark said, I see him as Matthew did, as a king. But he said, I see him as something else. I see him as the humble, suffering servant. Who you see, Luke? Well, I'm a doctor, says Luke. I'm more interested in the humanity of Christ. I see him as a man, says Luke. I saw him taking a towel and washing the feet of the disciples. I saw him, says Luke, as he wept at Lazarus' grave as a man would weep. I saw him weary at Sychar's well as a man would be. I saw him lonely on Olive's Mount as a man would be. I heard him cry and weep, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I've gathered thee as a chick would gather, a hen would gather chicks and you would not. I saw the tears roll down his cheeks as a man would cry. I saw him pleased at Martha's meal and Mary's devotion and Lazarus' friendship as a man would be. I heard him cry, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, as a man would cry. I saw him sweat in the carpenter's shop as a man would sweat. I saw him brought to a resting place and John placing his head on his breast and Jesus being comforted as a man would be comforted. And I heard him on the cross cry, I thirst, as a man would thirst. Oh yes, said Luke, I see him as a king like Matthew did. Oh yes, I see him as a servant like Mark did. But somehow the light shines most to me on the fact that Jesus was the Son of Man. Who was he, John? You knew him best of all. You leaned on his breast. You saw him love. You heard him pray. You saw his life. You heard him preach. You heard him teach. You saw him out soul winning. Who is he, John? Oh, John says, I think he's a king like Matthew. And I think he's a servant like Mark. And I think he's a son of man like Luke. But when I think of Jesus, I see something greater than all of those. I see him as the eternal, ever-living Son of God. I see him as the Son of God. Oh, he was called many other things. Whom say ye that I am? Somebody said he's the young child. Somebody said he's the holy child. He was called the Nazarene. He was called Lord. He was called Lord Jesus. He was called Lord Jesus Christ. He was called the Lord from heaven. He was called the Lord of glory. He was called the Lord of righteousness. He was called the Lord and Savior. He was called many other things. Whom say ye that I am? Some called him Christ Jesus, and some the Lord's Christ, and the Lord of the Sabbath, and our Lord and Savior. Emmanuel, teacher, Rabboni, governor, lawgiver, redeemer, Messiah, Shiloh, deliverer, mediator, intercessor, prince of peace, king of kings, king of glory. I saw, I heard him called, the banner one says, and I called him the captain and the ensign, the desire of the nations, the judge of the world, the righteous judge, the author, the finisher of our faith, the first fruits, the advocate. And they keep on calling him, whom say ye that I am? He's the ransom, he's the Passover, he's the high priest, he's the king of righteousness, the king of Salem, he's the king of kings, he's the just one, the holy one, the faithful witness, the commander, the consolation of Israel, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the first fruits of the dead, the first begotten of the dead, the elect of God, the second Adam, the king of the Jews, the king of Zion, the king of Israel, the king of saints, the king of kings, the king eternal. Who is he? He's the true vine, the root of Jesse, the offspring of David. He's the door. He's the door of the sheepfold. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the angel of the Lord. He's the Lamb of God. He's the water of life. He's the living water. He's the living bread. He's the bread of life. He's the word of life. He's the hidden manna. He's the tree of life. He's the light of life. He's the prince of life. He's the day star. He's the day spring. He's the tried stone. He's the living stone. He's the elect stone. What is he? Whom say ye that I am? Some said, he is the sure foundation. He's the rock of ages, cleft for me. He is the spiritual rock. He's the I am, the resurrection, the life, the Messiah, the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Abraham, Son of David, Son of Righteousness, and Son of the Highest. Who is he? He's the anointed, God's dear Son, God's beloved Son, God's only begotten Son, the Almighty. He's the man of sorrows, the friend of sinners, the gift of God, the unspeakable gift, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the image of God. He's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Ancient of Days, the Lord of Lords, the God with us. He's the elder brother, the friend that's taken closer than a brother. Who is he? He's the firstborn, the master, good master, your master, Lord and master. Who is he? He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who is he? He's the bridegroom, the counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who is he? He's the lamb of the altar, the door of the tabernacle, the light of the candlestick, the bread on the table, the incense on the altar, the veil to the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah above the mercy seat. Who is he? He's a bleeding lamb, a cooing dove, a lowing oxen, the red heifer, a brazen serpent. He is the bread up in the tray and the juice in the cup. Who is he? He's altogether lovely, fairest of 10,000, bright in the morning star. Whom say ye that I am? He's the vine, the rose of Sharon, the prophet, the high priest, the priest after the order of Melchizedek, the ruler, stone cut out without hands, the servant, a servant of servants, the lowly one, the desire of the nations, the Lamb of God, and the corn of wheat. But hallelujah, to me, his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
It says that his name is above every name. A name that's above the kings of the earth. Above Darius, above Cyrus, above Nero, above Nebuchadnezzar, above Caesar, above Napoleon, above Alexander the Great, above Henry the Eighth, Solomon, David, Hezekiah, Joash, Josiah, above Charles and James and the Ramesses of Egypt. He's above the kings. A name above the artist, above Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, Rembrandt, Shakespeare, Chaucer, Handel, and Browning. A name above the name of heroes, above Pasteur and Salk and Wright and Edison and Lindbergh and Joan of Arc and Helen Keller and Washington and Lincoln and MacArthur and Churchill. A name above the giants of the kingdom. A name above Sunday and Moody and Wesley and Finney and Edwards and Brainerd and Luther and Mueller and Jones and Wycliffe and Paul and John and Peter and Moses and Elijah and Spurgeon. And he is greater than the name of the angels, greater than Gabriel the messenger, Michael the warrior, the seven angels of Revelation who sounded the seven trumpets, the 12 angels of the gates of glory in the New Jerusalem, the angel that appeared to Isaiah, Jeremiah, the one who appeared to Jacob, and the one who appeared to Moses, and one to Samuel, and one to David, and one to Abraham. More pens have written about him than any other name. More chisels have sculptured him than any other person. More orators have described him than any other man. More institutions are named after him than anybody that ever lived.
More brushes have painted him than have painted all the other people put together. More lives have been changed. More choirs have sung. More poetry has been penned about Jesus. Who is he? He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bread of life, the way, the truth, the life. He's the true vine, the resurrection, and the life. He's the altogether lovely one, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. That's who he is.
You think for a single minute, I'm going to sit on the platform in an Easter sunrise service with one who denies that name, you got rocks in your head. If you think for a single minute that I'm going to sit on a platform a union or in a pew at a union Thanksgiving service with a bunch of liberal preachers that don't believe that book and don't believe my Savior is the virgin-born Son of God, you got some more thinking to do. If you think I'm going to join the local ministerial association where a bunch of people believe that Jesus is a liar, an illegitimate child, he said he was the Son of God, he's either the Son of God or he's the biggest fake and liar and imposter who ever lived. I asked a Jewish man the other day, I said, what do you think about Jesus? He said he was a good man. I said, no, he wasn't. I said, was he virgin born? Was he the Son of God? He said, no, but he's a good man. I said he was the Son of God. Is a good man a liar? If he's only a good man, he's an illegitimate child. His mother was a whoremonger. He was born of a blonde German soldier somewhere in an army camp. So they say he was either the perfect living Son of God or the biggest fake that ever walked the face of the earth.
You think I'm going to join a citywide revival campaign? I don't care if John the Baptist preaches it or Billy Graham. I'm not going to join a citywide campaign with a bunch of people that deny the person of my Savior. You think I'm going to sit side by side with Mormons and liberals and the mother of harlots' emissaries? You got another thing coming. You think I'm going to give one dime to a school that does not believe in the Savior and what he is? You got another thing coming. You think I'm going to have a man preach for me who hangs around the crowd that denies his name? You got another thing coming.
Let's talk. We're dealing about this new synagogue we're buying. And I like these fellows. They're nice guys, these laymen, the businessmen. And I enjoyed being with them. And they enjoyed me. And I was nice to them and courteous. And I cut up with them some. And after we got to know each other rather well, we bargained for a while and made a deal. One of the laymen, one of the leading laymen at the synagogue, said, Reverend, he said, you know, once a year, our rabbi exchanges pulpits with a pastor. He says, would you be interested in coming to speak for us on some Sunday and having our rabbi come and speak for you? I said, you better get one of my tapes. If you think I'm going to sit on the same platform with a man that carries a Bible that denies the name of Jesus, you've got another thing coming. You think I'm going to belong to a denomination that has preachers in it and people in it and churches in it that deny who he is? You got another thing coming. You think I'm going to sit idly by and let men profane his name? You got another thing coming. You think I'm going to go to a church who keeps that name out of its Sunday morning music? You got another thing coming. You think I'm going to allow books in Howells Anderson College Library that deny Jesus? I'm not going to put them in there and simply put a little sticker inside that says we don't believe what's in here. I'm going to burn them. You think I'm going to put speakers on Howells Anderson College platform like Brother Falwell did, putting Jesse Jackson on his platform and putting Ted Kennedy on his platform? And you think I'm going to do that? You've got problems. You'd have your head examined. You lost your marbles. They're so small, you'll never find them. You think I'm going to, in the name of scholarship, make Niebuhr and Brunner and Barth and Kierkegaard required reading at Howells Anderson College? You're mistaken. I am going to run with the crowd who says Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it doesn't matter. All this doesn't matter. There's one word I've not used a great deal, and this is what really matters. Doesn't matter if you believe he's the Son of God. Doesn't matter if you believe he's all these things I've mentioned tonight. Doesn't matter at all. If you don't have him as one word, Savior. What do you think about him, angels?
You've been commuting between heaven and earth for a long time.
You've been up there in heaven, angels, and you've heard the Father and the Son talking about the virgin birth. Whom say ye that he is? And the angels resound through eternity singing, Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. If you've never let him save you, why don't you celebrate Christmas like it ought to be celebrated? If you've never trusted him, if you don't know your name is written in heaven, you can believe he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can believe he's the Messiah. You can believe he's the bread of life, the living water. You can believe he's the way, the truth, the life, and die and go to hell. The only thing that really matters, do you believe he's your Savior?
You don't know that your name is written in heaven. You leave your seat in a few moments and walk down these aisles. There'll be a man at the end of every aisle, and that man can show you how you can have the best Christmas you ever had in your life. You can have your name written down in heaven in the Christmas season, 1996. If you've trusted him and never made it public, you walk down the aisle. Let me tell the people during the Christmas season that you have accepted him as your Lord, as your Savior, and you're going to live for him until someday you can be like him and make him your Lord. If you want to make this your church home, we invite you to come, but by all means, you come tonight and make him your Savior. Everything else is in vain. You can cook the meal. You can prepare the meal. You can put the dishes on the table. And you can put the knife and the silver there and the crystal there and the china there. You can prepare the entree. You can prepare the hors d'oeuvres. You can prepare the dessert. All of it! And starve to death at the table if you don't pick up the fork and start eating. And tonight, pick up your fork of faith and come to Christ and accept him as your Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Shall we stand? The choir will stand.